I've got a quick question for you, alright? I wanna hear your thoughts, I wanna know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you, alright? The answer's not important, I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite?
How did you get?
If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here.
So, hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy strikers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of that podcast, senior striker for last week tonight, author of How to Fight Presidents, and guy who got so jealous of all the attention Soren was getting from a broken wrist, he went ahead and broke his own damn foot. Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, the formerly popular Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello.
Formerly popular feels so right. But first of all, great job with the striking stuff.
That's thanks, wonderful. Man. Thank you.
And also pretty dismal and like bleak. Two best friends and comedy strikers is like, I don't want that to be my nomenclature. It's just a fun little novel thing right now, but yeah. Boy. I encountered some people on the line today that they bring a child that in a stroller. It's these grandparents. I don't understand the relationship totally, but they have this kid most days. At some point during the strike, this child will probably be walking, and I don't like thinking about that passage of time. Thanks to Raycon for supporting Quick Question. Raycon is premium audio at the perfect price point. Go to buyraycon.com/QQ today to get 15% off your Raycon order. Okay, now you said formerly popular?
Yeah, not in like your career or life sense, but going along with the theme that I was jealous of your broken wrist attention
because
we did a whole podcast out of it, yeah.
There is a part of me, every time that I get injured, there is a part of me that when I'm lying in bed at night, like awake and thinking about things, I'm just like whispering to myself, what happened to me?
Yeah.
I used to be great. I used to be like a glistening hero. Nothing could go wrong. And now look, I can't even lift 5 pounds because my hand is broken. And like, it just seems like a sequential set of injuries that have happened and befallen me since the beginning of 2023 in a way where I'm like, is this just it now? Is this just the rest of my life? So I do appreciate the commiseration that you were like, Soren is going through a dark time.
Yeah.
I should help him out by breaking my foot as well.
I mean, this strike, if it's about anything, it's about solidarity amongst writers. If one of us is going to get paid, we're all going to get paid. If one of us is going to get broken, we're all going to get broken. That's just how it is. I want to see Bill Lawrence, creator of Scrubs, break a fucking collarbone. Put your solidarity to the real test, Bill.
Yeah, I'm out on those lines. I'm meeting new people and I'm showing them my broken wrist and going, So? what do you intend to do? We're all in this together. Come on. I don't think we talked about it. Can you tell the audience how you broke your foot?
Yeah, so you can maybe help me out with this because I've told the story a few times and I've told it to enough people while looking them in the eye that I feel like I haven't isolated the most relevant bits of information, which is
scary
for me as a writer, because I used to be pretty good at knowing what mattered in a story. So I'm going to tell it to you the way I've told it to people as I watch them get bored.
I do love workshopping like a piece of your own history and like seeing other people like not respond to it and being like, all right, well, let's just go through that.
Because
bad parts are.
I was on the phone with our mutual friend Gardene last night, and she wanted to know the story. And I thought I was going to do the shortcut version because I was like, I'm not going to waste anyone's time with frivolous information. And I said, the bottom line is I fell and I heard it. She's like, that can't be it. I'm like, all right, well now, so I got to find a middle ground between that version of the story and then what I'm going to tell you. I was on my way to the airport and I had my left foot crossed over my right knee. And I was listening to...
Like a gentleman.
Yes. And I was listening to whatever I was listening to. And I fell asleep in the back of the Lyft. And my foot fell asleep also. We get to the airport. And the Lyft driver just says, hey, we're there. And I was so startled to be there because I didn't even know I was asleep or for how long. It just didn't feel like I was ready to be at the airport yet. So I was very disoriented, and I didn't want the driver to be mad at me like I'm taking so much time getting out of his car. So I didn't do anything to like reactivate my foot. I just opened the door and went right out and landed on that foot so wrong, and then got out my giant bag from the trunk. And I'm still like, as I always am, the first second I'm awake, I'm very embarrassed broadly. And now I've fallen at the airport. And so I'm just saying sorry to anyone who will listen. And I'm stomping my foot on the ground as hard as I can to try to get it to wake up. And then I go and I do all the security stuff. And I'm just so flustered and frazzled. And airports are always such a nightmare anyway. And it doesn't really dawn on me until I'm sitting waiting for my plane. I'm just like, huh, I think I did some real damage back there. And there was no time to think about it. And I knew the reason that I was at the airport was that I was flying here to Los Angeles, the city of Sorens, and the next day was going to drive about 6 hours north to go to attend a wedding that we were both at. And so there was, at no point was I thinking, I'm going to stop and get this checked by someone, because there was just no time for it. And so I just decided this was a lot of pain, but would go away because I'm 22. And we go to this wedding and like briefly dance at the wedding. We're standing the entire time because we're groomsmen, and there's like some walking and exploring around. And then I did more walking in my time when I got back to Los Angeles, my old stomping grounds, now limping grounds. And it wasn't until being repeatedly told by David and Shay that I should go finally get x-rays on this thing. So I did that today, and we'll talk about the specific diagnosis soon. But that's the story as it stands. Okay. It's too much information.
It is a lot.
No one seems to be as fascinated. No one seems to think me being asleep in the car is relevant information.
Well, a couple of things. I think I know some areas where you could trim the fat. But also, people are... The question of why, or like how did it happen, is such an audacious question, because what are they actually hoping for? Like, are they hoping that they can find out something that you did and they're like, oh, okay, good, I can mentally log that as something I will never do?
Yeah.
Like it's only a selfish question, that the question of like, how did it happen? And I think that they generally, it's just like a natural instinct to be like, oh, wait, how?
Yeah.
Like you want to know, but when you like really follow that thought all the way through, it's like, no, so you can avoid it. But yeah, you're never going to be able to avoid it because it's always something dumb. It's like on the edge of a couch and something like that.
Right. So, and most of the stories are I fell or I bumped it. And I think it's everyone's who's delivering the story. It's your natural instinct is to paint a picture that no one seems to want. When I broke my wrist and I showed up to work for the first time in a cast, my boss, John, was like, what happened? And I was like, so I was in Los Angeles. I was riding my bike to church. And then he did like a skip ahead gesture with his hand, and I was like, fell off a bike, landed on wrist.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, so honestly, fuck them when people ask that question. I think you either give them the answer that's very short and is not satisfying to them, or you give them the very long answer because you asked for this, motherfucker. Yeah. Like, so I'm not sure that you should do anything to the story.
Excellent.
Yeah, I think if I was telling it, and like, because I have just had an injury and I've had to tell it over and over again, I would say, I got out of a cab and stepped awkwardly on the pavement and fell down. Yeah. And that would be it. But
so again, you agree, the detail of me being asleep and my foot being asleep is not relevant. I think that's, there's something.
Help. I mean, it paints the picture, but
there's something in me that is like, don't worry, I would never do this. I was impaired at the moment. I was not my full self. I'm not so stupid that I'd fall out of a car.
I mean, those details are important, but it is really funny to include both of those because you've got two things that are asleep and you have to really, you have to nail both of them.
Yeah.
You have to be like, I was asleep. Also, a part of my body was asleep in a different way.
It's important for me to let the audience know like how devastating, like my foot was so asleep, Soren. It was just like gone. And that's such a strange sensation.
Did you know it was asleep when you stepped out of the cab? Or did you not? Did you feel it as soon as you did that? Because sometimes
I felt it as soon as I did that.
Yeah. Okay. That's why you were so
I made a like smooth transition from foot on knee to foot on ground. To knee on ground to body on ground. It all felt like one fluid choreographed move.
I bet that Lyft driver was really impressed. Yeah. your dance moves. So you waking up and immediately feeling embarrassed is something near and dear to my heart, to the point where I think it's like a holdout from high school or something when I'm sleeping in places I shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Sleeping in class or like you sleep in and your parents are like, what the fuck? You're supposed to be at school. That kind of stuff. Cause you just need so much more sleep.
Yeah.
To the point where when I wake up from anything, if somebody wakes me up, I start awake. Like I wake up like I've done something terrible in my dream and I don't want them to know. my wife laughs at me now when she wakes me up because she knows it's going to happen. So she tries to do it as gently as possible. She needs to wake me up. Like she'll give like a hand on my shoulder or she'll gently say my name. And the outsized reaction to that, I can only imagine, is very funny because I wake up so deeply guilty and like wide awake, like what? I was not sleeping.
Man. The rest of this injury stuff, it's so funny to me, the different ways the world treats you and I, where I'm coming off the heels of this story where you're celebrating your futuristic cast that you got for your broken wrist and how it's like molded to your skin and you can take it on and off and it's sleek and it looks cool.
I'm smelling it right now.
As I'm sitting in the doctor's office, I'm thinking, well, at least whatever they put on my foot will be cool because I'm in the same state in the country where Soren had his injury and we have the same jobs. We will be treated the same. And they come in with, they say, we're going to give you one of those horrible boots and crutches. They didn't say horrible. I'm editorializing, but you know, those dumb boots and crutches. I'm like, oh fuck, crutches. And then the guy comes back and says, we're out of boots, so I'm just going to wrap it. And he puts like some cotton on the bottom and back of my foot and then wraps it in way too much Ace bandage, the kind you could buy at a store. And it's just like cloth. And I'm going to get it wet if I'm ever outside and the elements dictate it. And it's not removable. I'm supposed to just keep it on until I go to a different doctor. It looks like shit. I don't feel safe in it. I had no time to like, I don't know, wash my foot. I don't know when I'm going to see that guy again. That guy meaning the foot. And as he's wrapping up my stupid foot and charging me $150 for the privilege, I'm thinking, that motherfucking Soren, there was a different hospital that he goes to. I'm sure of it. There is just a separate place where America's betters are allowed to get different treatment.
The first place I went to was an urgent care and they did my x-rays and then a similar situation happened where they didn't consult me about what they were about to do. And they gave me this splint with an Ace bandage that was this like immobilizing wrap. It covered my whole, I looked like Wickes from District 9. Like it covered my whole hand and then they wrapped my index finger and my middle finger together. And that's fine if you were to have that happen for like 3 hours. But I was it was on a Friday and I couldn't get to a hand specialist. Like they wouldn't even be open until Monday. Yeah. And so I was expected to go 2.5 days with your fingers straight and together. And I don't know, like you probably never tried that because you'd have no reason to. No. What immediately happens is that you get moisture between the two and then they casually very slightly rub against each other to the point that they create a huge blister in between both of them. And then you can't move either joint either because they've been straight for so long that at one point I was like in this thing and I was miserable and it was hurting in a way where I was like, it's not even the fucking wrist. Like the problem I'm creating new injuries that I unwrapped it myself, took the whole thing off. And I was like, no, we're starting over. And rewrapped it in a way that I thought would probably be suitable where my hands were free or my fingers were free. And at that point, like I couldn't even bend my fingers. It was like torture to bend them. And I was like, why would they have done this? They didn't consult me. They didn't do anything. They didn't clean it. Like they didn't do anything. And so I was upset And apparently you only get like the really cool stuff when you go to the bone or the hand and foot specialists.
All right.
And then they're like, okay, I gotcha.
Yeah. I guess I'll have to do that then, because this is, I also started looking around to see if I could immediately buy one of those boots, because you don't need a prescription for one of those boots. You could just, I've seen them in stores before. I'm just trying to find one that is near me that I can get to tonight, because there were two very petty things that I had to ask the doctor before she even took an x-ray, and she just saw my foot. She had the reaction that a lot of people have had, where she just goes, oh God. Like, this is, anyone who has seen, I've sent a picture of my foot to my brother last week, and he said, oh fuck. And I've sent it to, we had enough drinks at the wedding that I was showing it to people at the wedding, and they were like, oh no, go to a doctor. So she knew it was bad right away. And I said, this might seem petty, but I have a race next week that I've been training for. Can I, do you think by next week I'll be able to run it? She was like, even if it's not broken, I mean, look at it. I would not advise you run on that. It's not going to get better in a week. Well, how? And I was like, you really don't, like, it's a week and 2 days. So you really don't think I'll be able to run on it by then? She said, how many miles is it? And I said, 13.1. And she laughed.
Yeah. Yeah. And then those, I knew, stages of grief are tough, man.
I know. The race being out of the question, I was like, all right, well, now I've got like another petty, arguably a much pettier question. I am staying at an Airbnb because I'm visiting, and I am carless at the moment, and I would like to join my friend at a bar to watch basketball tonight. Can I walk half a mile? And she's just like, stop. Why? No.
Yeah. You, like, the negotiation portion is very, very funny. It always happens in the office with the doctor, because you're like, well, what if? Like, when I did my hand, and like they were wrapping it in the splint, and she was like, don't use this. Don't use it till you can see a hand specialist. And I, my first thought was, but I want to go to the gym. But yeah. I didn't say that. I was like, I knew that that wouldn't come off great. And so I was like, but I have children I need to pick up.
Right.
And she was like, well, don't pick them up. And I was like, what? Who's, give me a different one. Give me a different one. Somebody else give me a different answer.
I really feel like this doctor doesn't know how negotiation works, because I start high at 13.1 race. And she was like, no. I'm like, all right, half mile walk, surely.
Yeah, she's still not invited.
Still no. Ah.
Yeah.
Why? Because I could watch basketball at home, or because I could order a Lyft to drive me? These are stupid solutions that I'm not looking for right now.
You were so confident on it at the wedding that even today I was thinking, oh, I wonder if Daniel wants to come to the picket line with me. And when we were at the wedding there, we went the dinner before the wedding, you know, like the rehearsal dinner. It ended up only being 1.3 miles away from where we were staying. And so that night, when everyone was going home, I was like, oh man, fuck it, I'll just hoof it. And I told you, I was like, hey, it's only 1.3 miles away. And you're like, great, dude. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah.
And that's at a time where I'm thinking, if I don't walk 1.3 miles tonight, then I'll be golden. That's what I thought the difference maker was going to be. I thought, because it was such a new injury, and I just thought, like, I needed a few days and then I'd be fine. And then I did a ton of walking yesterday. I did about 4.5 or 5 miles of just walking around.
God.
And this morning it was really bad. And that's when I start sending the texts to people close to me. That must just be infuriating at this point, where I'm just like, man, this is still really bad. Okay, did you go to the doctor like I've been saying? No, just listen to me.
No, I walked on it a bunch. I walked on it the distance of a city. Well, fuck.
Why did
Dan.
You walk on I'm it? Sorry. I wanted to go to the Westwood Farmers Market. I thought it was Wednesdays. It's not. It's Thursdays.
I'm sorry that you're dealing with that. I do know how frustrating that is.
It is.
And it's really rough. I think I would like to see your foot.
Okay, I'll send it to you. Because you also know how gratifying it is when people have strong reactions to an injury.
Of course.
Especially people who are in the know. And then just like, good, this isn't me being a baby. Me not going to a doctor is me being a baby. But me being upset is I'm a big, strong boy. Good.
Right. Me feeling any sort of pain from this is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know that that's like, I've had my fair share. I think I've told this story before, but I had grade 3 sprains in both my ankles at once in college, trying to impress my then girlfriend, now wife.
Yeah. Do you jump off stairs?
Yeah. There were stairs that, dorm stairs that, you know, they go down a series of steps. Then there's kind of like a platform and then another series of steps. And I had figured out that I could run down the steps, leap over the middle railing down to the next set of steps and just keep going. And just skip the platform altogether, cut out the middleman.
Yeah.
And I was doing that on the way to a date with her. And I was like, she'll be really impressed by this, and really was feeling it and just overshot the whole thing and jumped all the way to the bottom of a set of steps.
Yeah. Excellent.
Over a railing and immediately sprained both my ankles in a way where it was like bewildering pain.
Yeah.
And, tried to really play it cool with her, went on the date anyway, then came back and went into shock, like put both my feet up and started to sweat profusely and get really talkative. and then eventually the pain came and yeah. Both of them swelled up to such a degree that it was obscene. Like, it was disgusting to look at, and the blood, it's always like where the blood drains that you realize yeah. how much damage you've actually done, because there's just so much blood, loose blood floating around in there when you do that kind of damage, that then it all settles either at the bottom of your foot or like behind your heel. And it's so much blood. Like, you see how dark your foot turns and it looks like you've got frostbite basically.
Yeah.
It's horrifying. And so I'm happy that you at least have that. Like, you can look at that each day and just sort of wonder about it.
Yeah. I've now been to doctors twice since we've talked on this podcast. Me, a person who famously avoids doctors. But I went to get that allergen test.
Yes.
Which, to get ahead spoilers, was kind of a dud. I need to go to an additional doctor to find out what I'm intolerant to, because I'm not allergic to any of the things I thought I was allergic to. But the highlight of this trip for me was, you get there, and before they do the allergen test, they do, we're going to take your blood pressure, we're going to check your oxygen level, we're going to check your resting heart rate. And did my blood pressure, and the same way that I always am in these situations, I say, what is the number? Is that good? And yeah. She was like, yeah, it's not bad. She told me the range of what good blood pressure is, and I was in that range. Like, okay. Oxygen levels, what's that? Is that good? Yeah, it's good. She showed me the range of that. Go through that again. Your resting heart rate is perfect. It's just like, the number is perfect. And I said, I know. I've been working on that. Because it is an actual thing that I have been like conscious of for years. Because I, in the darkest parts of pandemic, when I was alone and going completely insane, I like felt my heart going crazy. And I would like, you could test it at home just by like counting your pulse and multiplying it. And that'll tell you what your heart rate is. And mine was, I was correct. It was too high. And then I started reading, how do I get my resting heart rate down? And it was to do lots of stuff that I just wasn't doing in a pandemic. It was like, well, you can drink more water, you can eat better, you can exercise, you can relax. And that started me on a path of like finding ways to exercise in pandemic, taking better care of myself, getting way into meditation. And now my resting heart rate is so fucking reliably 60 that I like... I want you, like, I dare you to test it. Test it right now. Show me the number.
And you could talk to me about anything. You could talk to me about spiders if you want to. It'd be fine.
Yeah. It's pretty good resting heart rate for someone who is in a doctor's office. Wouldn't you agree? Don't usually people get nervous? Not me, though.
Let's face it. Prices for everything are going through the roof. Have you looked at eggs lately? It's disgusting out there. Man, I feel like such an old person when I say that, because I remember as a child when I would buy a candy bar and my grandparents would be like, you know, those used to be a nickel. And I'd be like, take off, old man. Like, yeah, that's how the world works. But honestly, it feels like everything within a year, all of a sudden prices went through the roof. Well, there are a few things that are inflation proof. And one of those is Raycon earbuds. Raycon is premium audio at the perfect price point, so you can listen to what you want, when you want, without breaking the bank. Go to buyraycon.com/QQ today to get 15% off your Raycon order. Now, I love Raycon, and I don't mind saying it, because I've tried a bunch of different earbuds. I don't know what the deal is with my ear shape, but as far as like Apple EarPods, they fall right out of my ears. I can't wear them. But Raycon has different customizable sizes that you can put into your ear. You can get the exact right one. And when they're in, they are so discreet. There's no little tail sticking off of it. There's nothing wrapping around the outside of your ear. They're small. People can barely tell they're there. And in fact, when you're not facing somebody, they can't see them at all. You could just ask my wife. Please don't go to her and ask her. But I'm telling you right now that when I'm looking the other direction and I'm doing a workout or something and she's trying to get my attention, oh, it's like a old comedy routine. Me not understanding and her getting more and more angry, it's the best. There's all kinds of great features within the Raycon earbuds as well. You've got three different customizable sound profiles. There's a tap function for volume. There's noise isolation. Then there's also awareness mode. So if you're wearing it outside, you understand what's going on around you and you're not completely closing out the world. Plus, there's crystal clear call quality. They're water and sweat resistant. And the everyday earbuds give you 8 hours of playtime. Go to buyraycon.com/QQ today to get 15% off your Raycon order. That's buyraycon.com/QQ to score 15% off. So for that test, they're giving you little pricks all over your back, right?
No.
What?
They put little tiny pricks just on my arm. And it was, so here's what was annoying about it, is that they asked me what I think I'm allergic to. I was like, I'm almost positive dairy, but I don't know what exact thing in dairy is causing the damage. And I think eggs as well. And they're like, all right, what about like soy, wheat, coffee, anything else? I was like, I mean, I don't think so, but you could put coffee on there. I have coffee every day. I'd love to know if that was doing something to me. And they're like, what else? It's like, what are the options? And they have a huge list of like everything. It's gotta be, if it's not 100, it's 80 or something like that. It's a lot. And I could tell from, I was trying to be like, just do it all.
Yeah.
And I could tell that they didn't want that. They were like, we're not going to cover your entire body to see if you're allergic to apples and horses and dust. Just like, well, you came like, here because you think you're allergic to certain things. We're going to test for those. It's like, yeah, but when am I going to be back here again?
Yeah, how many are you allowed to choose from the menu?
But they tested just the things that I told them to test for. They put little, a neutral thing, and then like a test thing that they give me to like guaranteed well up, so we could see like this what looks like a mosquito bite, and yeah, that's what we're going to use to see if I'm allergic to anything else. It needs to be as big as the tiny mosquito bite thing. And they put the other little pricks with some kind of juice in them. I think the coffee one was they just like put coffee in me.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
And then they walk away for 15 minutes and they come back and nothing runs positive. And I'm like, well, what? But wow. I know I can't have certain things. And they're just like, well, if you're lactose intolerant, we can't test that. You have to go to a gastroenterologist and they could test from your, Soren, where do you think they, how do you think they find out at the gastroenterologist if you're lactose intolerant?
They would have to find out if your body can break down the lactose, which would happen in your belly, which would mean that you'd probably have to get something from the lining of the stomach.
It's a breath test.
What?
Isn't that nuts?
What?
That's what they told me. I mean, she might have just been a liar, but
no,
she
I
said,
guess
yeah, you'll have to do a breath test.
Oh, that's still less invasive than what I was planning for you.
And
you still want to do my way? I mean, the option's still on the table.
Yeah, I understand. I talked to a buddy. He thinks you should scrape the inside of my belly. And there's a couple of different directions you can go to get there.
Yeah, listen, I know.
I don't want either of them.
We're going to pull out some stuff that's probably not so great having outside the body. Hydrochloric acid. I know that's the first one you're thinking. Sulfuric acid. Yeah, maybe. We don't know yet.
But that's if I want to find out what specific thing I'm intolerant to, because if you're allergic, that's one thing. If you're intolerant, it's a different thing. And I said, what about, will they test for eggs too? And she just said, no, I mean, like, some people just can't, your body just can't process eggs. I was like, well, how do you know? It's like, what happens when you eat eggs? You get sick? You fucking genius. That's it. That's how. Another medical mystery solved.
Here's what I'd like. I'd like for police to just double up on their job. When they're doing DUIs, mm-hmm. and like you breathe into the breathalyzer, you should also have the option to just test for lactose intolerance right there.
Sure.
Because like you're already going to probably get some bad news. It would be nice to have something official also on the other end where it's like, yeah, I know for sure now. Okay, that's good to know. Thank you, doc.
Sorry, officer. if this milk breath test is real and exists, then they should be selling that shit at Brookstone. I should be able to 100%. Get one for home.
That's gifts for everyone in the family. 100%. Yeah, that's going in every stocking of everyone I know. That's wild that they can do that. I don't understand it. Because it would be salivary, but I don't think saliva is where you're breaking that stuff down. Gosh, I just don't know enough about kinesiology, probably. I don't even know what it's called. Well, I'm sorry that you didn't get anything official, Dan. That is deeply frustrating.
That's okay. I did get a pretty positive diagnosis on my broken foot. So I got that going for me.
Yeah. So what is the actual break?
So first I sent the picture to my brother who showed it to one of his coworkers who, what's this word? Metatarsal?
Okay.
And she said, get an x-ray. That looks like metatarsal to me.
They're numbered. Yeah. There's like a fourth and a third and stuff. What, you know which one it is?
Well, I'm curious what you're going to say about this because the doctor knew something was wrong. So she was already looking for problems and she looked at the x-ray and said, I think this is your fourth metatarsal, a very small fracture. And she took me into the room to look at the x-ray. And she was like, look at this. This is supposed to be smooth. Do you see how it's different here? And I'm looking at my bones for the first time in my life. And I'm already having a bad day. And I'm like, I don't know. She's like, don't you see? Do you see how it should be smooth? And I'm just like, sure. Because like, it doesn't look like, there's definitely a difference there, but it's not, I don't know. It wouldn't have bumped me. It's not as dramatic as she is making it seem, in my opinion. Which is nothing. But she's saying, look, this is different. And I was like, okay, you're the doctors. And then she said, the radiologist who looked at it didn't flag anything. So I've reached out to them for a second opinion. I'm like, okay, I like that. When are they going to get back to you? And she said, there's no telling if they actually will. Which is a fun detail. Isn't that cool that the radiologist just might not do it? Isn't that awesome?
It's a real loose cannon over there.
Yeah, it's my bones in my feet, which I need for my job now. Yeah. And so I wait and we get no response from the radiologist. And eventually we just stick with her diagnosis of fourth metatarsal. And it's time for me to go and see an orthopedic specialist at some point. Then she calls me when I'm on the way home. And she said, the radiologist got back to me. They looked at what I flagged and they determined it's not that I am making too big a deal out of it because they looked at it from another angle and they think it looks much better from that angle. But this time around, they think there's a possibility of a small fracture on the fifth metatarsal. Okay. And in either case, the diagnosis is the same. Like, go to an OT. It's wear a same, boot, use crutches. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same bone. Just like, it's like, it's either the ring toe or the pinky toe.
it's still the doctor is giving herself an opportunity to say that she was still right. And I don't think that that's true.
Okay.
I think you looked at a picture and you thought my pinky was broken, and then it turns out my middle toe was broken, you don't get points for being close. You guessed wrong.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know. I guess it's either whomever you want to believe, the doctor and the first round where she said fourth and the specialist said nothing, the second round where they said fifth and definitely not fourth.
So, I mean, you have
it seems like broadly it's not, it can't be that bad of a fracture. If
no, I don't think it, yeah. If it, what that, with all that means, and like, this is all stuff that I've just recently learned, which is as long as it's not displaced, which would be very easy to see on the x-ray, that's where like the break happens and the bones are no longer going in the right direction. Like they're like, like pushing away from each other, or you get a break where there's spacing. And spacing just means that like they broke and now there's too big of a gap between them for them to fuse again. Those, and both those things are really easy to see on an x-ray. Otherwise, fractures, I think, are way more common than people think. And like probably people have had very small fractures in their bones before, but where like the bone breaks, but it's still sitting just right.
Yeah.
And so it can just heal up.
It's hard for me not to think about that in situations like this where I'm very focused on getting it checked out because I have this race next week and I had a bunch of people in my life telling me to get it checked out. And I was weighing the options of, am I going to be protesting and marching all week now? I had like plenty of reason for this specific situation to check this out, but it made me think about how reckless I've been my entire life and how I would bet I did this 1,000 times. There must've been plenty of times that I've fallen out of a tree or kicked something, kicked a door frame or a bed frame or like a weight on the ground and was like, ouch. And then walked on it until eventually it wasn't pain anymore.
Right. And we learned actually at the wedding, we learned from one of our friends that every single time that you fractured your skull, your skull never forgets it. Like your skull still holds the scar from it. And so if you go get an MRI, you can basically see your history of head injuries that you didn't really know you had. And the times you fractured your skull.
And the specialist will tell you, I see you fractured your skull 3 times. And it's like, no, I didn't. I never went to a doctor for that. But it's just like, the bones don't lie.
Right. And so, the bone that I broke is called the scaphoid. It's a very, very small bone, or the navicular bone. But you have those in your feet too. But in your hand, it's like right behind the thumb. And it's like a nothing bone. It's so small, but it gets terrible circulation. And so if for whatever reason, like it's not healing properly. And I guess this happens regularly. You just like get necrosis in it and the bone just withers away and dies. And so your thought might be like, well, consequence, like what does that actually mean in a tangible way? Not a whole lot, except when you get old, you're guaranteed to have arthritis in your thumb. And that's kind of it.
Yeah.
But that's why, like with this, they're like, please just keep this stupid fucking cast on the whole time because this bone will die if you don't.
I would be, and I'm going to do what I need to do to heal. But I was talking to my brother on the drive home from the doctor, and even he was still like, you know, the race is booked because we're running this race together. The race is booked. The hotel we're staying at is booked. You can't back out of it. Like, you can't get your money back on the race now. So, like, see how you feel in a week. I'm still open to the possibility of doing this. But
man,
I need to get a boot or something else because this is just fucking cloth and some cotton. And
is it? Yeah, so is it like kind of like a tan cloth? Is it Ace?
Yeah, it's that Ace bandage looking stuff.
Yeah, and then they put a cotton underneath it to like just protect your skin from it, right?
Yeah, just sort of like, it's a little bit of a stiffer cotton that I think was protecting skin, and also like, this is a 90-degree angle for your foot. This is the shape we want your foot to be in, and we're going to wrap to this cotton.
Yeah, dude, over the next few days, until you get to like a professional or until you get that boot, that's going to be torture. Like the way that it's going to create all kinds of other little problems for you.
Yeah.
It's like, cause your foot's not used to being in that position. It's going to be torture in just like 24 hours.
Getting out of the lift back to my Airbnb, I am carrying crutches. I had a book with me. I had because I wasn't planning on going to the doctor when I went to the doctor. That was the beginning to this story was I had an appointment scheduled for tonight after we record because I didn't want to interfere with the podcast. And then I was going to lunch and I had my book, I had Raw Dog by Jamie Loftus with me and I was going to read it while I ate lunch. And then the hospital or the whatever clinic called like, hey, we know you had your thing scheduled for a time that you picked, but can you come earlier? And I was like, how much earlier? I said, now would be good. And so I had a Lyft pick me up from there. So that explains why I have a book and crutches and one of my shoes in my hand as I'm getting out of this Lyft and really doing my best and just briefly transitioning from street to my Airbnb, put my new cloth foot down on the grass and felt like slightly wet grass. I'm like, well, this thing didn't make it. Fucking 10 minutes outside, 2 minutes outside, it didn't make it before I stepped on something that I regret.
Yeah, you're not supposed to get it wet.
No, and it's just gonna be part of it now. It's part of it until I get rid of this thing.
Because the fact that you also felt the wetness means that it like immediately seeped through to your foot, which means that that water's in there for good.
Oh, Dan. Yeah, that's shitty. You got to get this brace as soon as you can.
I know.
There's
Amazon one that'll get here on Sunday, but I'm still holding out hope that there's something around here. I was surprised that maybe it's an LA thing or maybe I dreamed seeing boots everywhere. It seemed like something that has caught my eye in various pharmacies, but I called every CVS around me and they're not here. The CVS is here. Don't carry medical equipment. And one of them I called and asked for medical boot. And she goes, medical boot? Like, all right, so that's no. So you don't have it. That's fine.
Caught your eye.
Yeah.
I like thinking that you were just like fancying the possibility that you might one day use one of those for CVS. You saw a CVS and you're like, oh, that's sleek and elegant.
Yeah.
It's good black color. I'm like, I could wear that someday.
You don't have to have something wrong with you, right? You can just like get them, get two.
We were talking before the podcast about the fact that you have crutches right now and how demoralizing that is.
Yeah.
And our sound engineer, Gabe, was saying that in eighth grade, he had to get crutches and thought that it was going to get him a girlfriend. Is that right? Hey, Gabe, come say the story.
Yeah, I got crutches in the eighth grade and I remember being... I actually, in retrospect, I don't know how badly I really needed them, but I was excited about the possibility that this meant that girls were going to like me.
And just like speak on that, what part of, why do you think that girls would have liked it?
At the time, I just thought like, I'll stand out and it maybe looks like I'm dangerous or live some kind of an exciting life where like potentially I'm getting injured. But looking back at it now, like, at that time, I was pretty, I knew where I stood in the social hierarchy, and I was not the cool, strong guy or like a jock. I was in band, in fact, and I guess I thought that maybe like if a girl pitied me enough, she would be interested.
That's a lot of thought that I don't know I would have, I don't know if that's like in retrospect justifying a decision, because I had that same impulse in like middle and high school, and I don't think the thought process went beyond attention. Yeah. Is good. This will give me a lot of attention, and then girls will like me because of the attention somehow.
Oh man,
that's why I was always trying to fail my hearing test in elementary school so I can get a hearing aid, because how cool is that? Not a lot of people have hearing aids this age. What's his story?
Finding out a kid in my class in fourth grade was colorblind and being like, that's a good one. Why didn't I choose that one? Like, that doesn't upset your normal life, but like, it's still like, now you got a thing.
Yeah.
Now it's an easy way. It's like a shortcut to personality.
Man, I wish I could have been a devil on little Soren's shoulder and said, hey, psst, you could just lie about it. No one's ever going to know.
I feel really badly for Gabe, but I do also have, when I got my braces, when I was about, I was in, I think 10th grade when I got braces, and I was so grateful when I got them because my face was so feminine and like cherubish that I needed something. I needed some sort of edge. And when I was getting braces, I was like, oh, thank God, a thing. Like, now I don't have to take up smoking. Like, this would be the thing.
I did not feel that way when I got my palate expander. Because one, it's not it's not as visual as braces. And like some kids with braces, it seemed like you could like pick the colors on them and have different color rubber bands. And it seemed like you were customizing it. A palate expander is something that just sits in the roof of your mouth and pushes your teeth into a position and no one can see it. But its presence is very felt by everyone around you because my mouth thinks it's an invader. So it's sending lots of saliva up to try to flush it out. And so I'm just like constantly swallowing and breathing like that and being in like general discomfort. Because this is not only an uncomfortable piece of equipment, this was 1990s New Jersey palate expander. We didn't have Wi-Fi yet. There was no way this was going to be a sophisticated piece of technology. And a big factor of that is the palate expander comes with a key that you occasionally have to jam into the hole in your palate expander and twist it to make it either wider or more narrow. I can't remember.
Oh, it's just a torture device in your mouth. Did it? So it's sitting up on the roof of your mouth, I assume, right? So is it making you talk funny too?
Yes.
Oh man,
you never get used to it.
This is a lot of things are falling into place for me right now because when you got Invisalign, I was pretty ruthless with making fun of just the little affectations in the way that you would speak. And the reason I became ruthless was because the first time I did it, it affected you so dramatically. I just continued to do it. But at like meetings, like it was important that it was something you were trying to say something very important that I could undercut. But why that affected you so much, because you had dealt with it previously in your life already.
It's also so much worse than as promised. Like you'd think there'd be something. The market for Invisalign exists because it's humiliating to be an adult with braces. But I was like, great, I'll get all the benefits of having braces and straightening out my teeth without the humiliation. No, humiliation is still a huge part of it. Everyone knows you're doing adult braces. And in fact, you splurged for the expensive vanity adult braces. And you still sound like a fucking asshole every time you try to talk.
Yeah, it's the undignified way that you have to take them in and out when you need to eat anything in front of other people. And like, you have to make that noise because the other option is to just pull it out and just have all those spaghetti strings of saliva that come with it.
No, you can't do that. And then you have to take out your stupid big boy retainer case and hide it in there. Yeah. It was enough that, because I think I brought them to work first and then was humiliated and then called my dentist and was like, listen, we're going to have to update the timeline a little bit because I'm about to go to Hawaii for 2 weeks and I'm just not going to use it. I can't. Right. I'm on vacation. I'm with family. I'm not going to do it. So push everything back 2 weeks.
I had braces that I feel like no one else got and then no one after me got. My braces, you're right, and then they have like little colored bands on them. Generally what happens is you have a glue, they stick a piece of metal on there on your tooth, and then it has these hooks on it that you feed a wire through and then the hooks help keep it in place with a band. So the band sits over the hook, over the wire, and it keeps it all in place and it just forces your teeth into the position they need to be in. Mine didn't have those bands. My braces were smaller and they had a little metal cap on the top of them. And the metal cap had a hinge that you could open up. You just put the braces, you put the wire inside of it all, and then you'd close all of them with a tool. And it looked a little bit different. It was certainly a little bit more of an aggressive smile than the ones where you had like a colored smile. And the other thing was that the wire would shift a lot more in mine. So what would happen is throughout just daily life, that sharp wire would start to like shift
out of one side and through the other. And then you'd have just exposed wire on the back behind the molars on one side of your mouth that was razor sharp. So occasionally your tongue would just get stuck on it. Or in my case, playing soccer. Also, yeah, these like capped ones are just metal on top and it's like sharp metal. And so I would get hit in the face with a soccer ball and I would have to, I remember peeling my cheek out of my braces and just bleeding in several places inside of my mouth from it. Just having a cheese grater in my mouth for 2.5 years. I don't know why I was the only one who ever had these braces. I think it's probably because I go to those special doctors.
Yeah.
Where you get the fancy things.
Uh-huh. That makes sense. They're better in some way.
I think these might've been, I mean, my braces time was a breeze. I went through it so fast that it was expedited.
That's went cool, man.
The whole thing. Yeah. They were like, this is going to take this long. My teeth were like, we can do it faster. Well, you're not going to be out on the lines, Dan, but let me just give you a quick rundown of what's happening out there.
Yeah. I got a strike update too.
Oh, you do? Okay, good.
Yeah.
It's the same. What people are doing now is they're occasionally having like costumed days. Uh-huh. So they're going to be like, oh, at the Paramount Gate, everyone's going to dress as superheroes. Or we're all having an animation day over here. So we're all going to go as our favorite characters. And I don't care for that.
I mean, do whatever you want in terms of making this strike livable for you, because it's a depressing thing, as inspiring as it is to be in solidarity with the union. It's not, I mean, like, I don't want to begrudge anyone what they do to make this livable. That said, with all the costumes and celebrities, my fear is that the protest will go on long enough and eventually turn to Comic-Con, where it's like you're protesting at Paramount. And also you're going to see all the new Paramount trailers and get excited for them and get hyped protesting Marvel to see Phase 6.
And then we've also had just little events that happened at the lots that I go to that were so exciting because they were the littlest bit different. At one point, some people got kicked out of Sony. I think they were there for a meeting. There's like this guy and his entourage were there and they got kicked out because a bunch of them had drugs. And then they tried to fight the security guards out front, right in the middle of our picket line. So that was confusing because there was already something very contentious happening. And then a brand new contentious thing showed up that had nothing to do with the other. And so none of us really knew what to do. And then on the other side, a tree fell down right where we were picketing.
Hey, that's not nothing.
That was pretty cool. And then I went around taking credit for the tree falling down. Like being like, I'm raising the stakes. Like, it's time to get serious. The revolution will not be televised.
You carried the tree and put it in Ted Sarandos' bed when he woke up, like in Godfather.
That's right. Just the head of it.
Yeah.
But it fell down, and it fell down, like, right in the path of cars also. So, like, that gate was just, like, there was no point in picketing it anymore because Mother Nature was just doing it for us. Like, yeah. We were just like, okay, I guess we just go to some other ones. But those are the little things that out there on the lines where I'm like, yes, like I needed this. I needed something different. Cause it's tough, man. It's tough just walking back and forth all day long.
I know. It sucks and it's bad. I haven't been able to do it as much because of New Jersey and now this foot situation. My only strike update is this has happened to me twice now, and I don't know if anything similar has happened to you, but my brother and sister-in-law were staying at my apartment while I was I've been out of town because it's right on the beach and it's Memorial Day weekend, and I figured, oh, they're gonna be staying there. I'll write them out a list of like house rules and stuff to know about the area and suggestions, and you know, because I'm writing an email to them, I'm gonna jazz it up a little bit. I'm gonna have a little fun with it, and I sent it off to them and thought nothing of it. And then my sister-in-law was like, you really need to get back to work, huh? Because I clearly put so much, like, my writing energy needed to go somewhere, and I put it into this fucking house rules email, and she noticed it. And I also got called out by my friend Jamie in our group chat when I wrote some bit as we were all riffing, and she was like, I'm really sorry that you're on strike, but I'm glad we're getting all of that energy here now. Yes. I was like, oh boy.
Yeah. You're doing nothing worse than being accused of going too hard.
Doing too many bits on civilians. This is bad news.
They know it. Yeah, block group chat has I can already tell I need to tone it down. I need to like pull back a little bit because I am hot in there.
Yeah.
I can hear that, Daniel.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay.
No, it's not okay. You were talking and I found a piece of garbage and I decided to pick it up and start playing with it. Into a microphone. Does this remind you of our years ago, before the Cracked podcast existed?
Yeah, I was just thinking about this moment.
You, me, and Charlie Daniels wanted to spearhead a podcast, and you were running it with the three of us until Jack said, "Don't do it anymore." And I sometimes intentionally, sometimes purely without thinking about it, made so much noise while you and Charlie were talking, just like opening soda cans and like deciding while Soren is introducing a segment is a good time for me to see if I could throw this empty Snapple bottle into a garbage can.
Yeah, not even like a plastic one, like a glass Snapple bottle.
Yeah, and something like under best circumstances, if I made it, would still make a noise. It doesn't get quiet if I nail the shot.
No, the chances were either it would shatter and you'd miss, or you get it in a deep resonant plastic bin.
I'll try not to crinkle any more garbage.
That's all right. I don't mind it. It's fine. It sounded like you were unwrapping a little treat for yourself, like because it was the end of the podcast.
No, it's a thing that the silverware comes in when you get Panda Express. Because you're at an Airbnb and you don't want to go grocery shopping and your foot's broken, so might as well get Panda Express.
Well, you can follow Daniel at DOB underscore Inc. You can follow me, Soren, at Soren underscore LTD. Oh, there it is. You can follow Quick Question at QQ underscore Soren and Dan. We have an email, which is QQ with Soren and Daniel at gmail.com. We also have a sound engineer, producer, editor, and just sort of like incomparable hero, Gabe Harder. You can also follow us at Patreon, patreon.com/quickquestion. Give us some money if you feel so inclined. I think there's some extra content that we give out for that type of thing. I say I think we do because we haven't done it in a very long time. And then we also have our theme song. Our theme song is by Me Rex, and you can find their music anywhere you listen to music, Spotify, Apple, iTunes, whatever. Or you can just find their album at merex.bandcamp.com. Okay, bye.
I've got a quick question for you. So what's your favorite? How did you get? I think you'll have a great time here.